do the 23rd of March, Pub Sign Ad Hoc, Rabbi Steve Belofsky, the Kid Cup.
Morning.
Morning.
Subject of the shiur is Kois Hamishi. Fifth cup. Now most of us probably consider by the time we get to the end of the seder, we're going to have more than enough wine. But actually, while many Divrei Torah are built on there are four cups and four sons and four this and four that and four questions, it's not at all clear that there are in fact four and no more cups. Now, there's Yerushalmi in the first halacha of Arev Sochim, which traces, as does the Medrash and other sources, Chazal's decision to institute four koses at the Seder, minayin la'arba koses, Rabbi Yochanan b'shem, Rabbi Yehuda k'neged arba amagulos. If you look in the beginning of Parshas Bo Eiro, it's a passage of the promise of redemption, and there are various verbs used in this promise. And it gives you, voitzeisi vitzalti v'gualti v'lokachti, the Rishami lists, your four lashonas of Geula. And so that's why there are various other midrashic interpretations corresponding to other aspects of Jewish life, redemption, retribution, whatever. And this is all very familiar. Every child learns this at school. However, when one looks at the different girsois of the Gemara, which discuss this, the Gemara, this is the Bavli, on the Mishnah, Moizgalo Kos Shlishi, they pour the third cup. Here we're now after the meal, Mavorech Am Zoynoi. And on the third Kos, one says the benching. Ravi, fourth Kos, Goyim Olav Is Halel, one completes, we've already begun the halal before the meal. One completes over the halal and drinks it afterwards. Va'oyim Olav Birchas Hashir. And one says the Birchas Hashir, these are selections from Tehillim. Gemara discusses this Mishnah. What I'm really interested in is that Chilufi Girsois, different texts, discusses what Birchas Hashir consists of, what is Halel, each one of the Arba Koses, say Chazal, I'm just paraphrasing, too much to read all the text inside and get through it in half an hour. Each one of the koses corresponds to an aspect of freedom. Then, Tonel Abonon, Revi Goyma Olovis Ahale. The fourth kois, one completes the halel over it, and Simon says, Halel Agodol, Kilo Olon Chastoi. That's Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Now, just for your interest, Rashi has that girso, the Rashbam has that girso. The Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa is Tonel Abonon Chamishi Oyma Olov Halel Agodol. Over the fifth cup, one says Halel Agodol. The Rif has a similar girsa. The Rosh has a similar girsa. And in a monograph on this subject, or of Menachem Kasha, he provides us with the interesting information that there are variant texts of the Gemara which are known. He tells you about Kisvei Yad Mitzrayim, Ksav Yad Teimoni, Ksav Yad Vatikan, imagine you know what that is, various other texts, the Oxford text, the Munich text, some say four and some say five. And in a summary of these kind of girsois, the truth is, the reason why Rashi says, Hochi Garsinon, the correct text here, he doesn't say that every line of the Gemara, presumably normally when Rashi says Hochi Garsinon, and the Rashbam also says Hochi Garsinon Arba Koisus, four cups, is because they were aware that there was a divergent opinion, another Girsa, and presumably they are establishing as far as they are concerned, this is the correct one. Otherwise there was some confusion about the text, which prompted him to make a statement verifying what he considered to be the correct text. But be as it may, there appears to be, Rishonim appear to have different girsois of this Gemara, which allow for a discussion of whether there should in fact be four or five koses at the Seder. There are all sorts of interesting discussions that arise from this. First of all, we have a principle. You're not supposed to drink after the kosis. Where does that come from? How does this apply? Does it apply to wine? After all, if the idea is to also wine, maybe the fifth cup is an extension of the fourth cup. There's all sorts of things one can do with this. There are a number of issues that it raises. Not least the fact that the reason why one's not allowed to drink after the kosis is not entirely clear. In the Tom Dem of the Rivard, he suggests it's to do with poverty. If you allow people to drink too much wine on the first night, they won't have any left for the next Seder in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore he suggests that this principle wouldn't apply on the second night, or in Eretz Yisrael at all. There are variant understandings of this. There are many issues that it raises. And the Rivard on the Bala Moir, in the relevant place in Arvid Sochim. Vada yeshli smoich leminigazer medivrei Rabbi Tarfon. Sh'omo, one can base this practice of having five kosis at the Seder. By the way, in case it wasn't clear, the first two are just as we do them. The third one's the benching as we do it. But then, the fourth and fifth cups will be dividing up some of the Tehillim that we say. And effectively, although there's different ways of doing it and different ways of juggling it, and then the Gemara discusses, I didn't quote the entire Gemara, some say Halalai Godel, some say Hashem Roilech, so it's Tehillim Chaf Gimel. But whatever it is, the Tehillim after the meal will be divided up into two sections, and one kosher will be used for one, and the other kosher will be used for the other. It's an unfamiliar structure to the second part of the Seder. So the Rivard says, this practically based on Medivrei Rebbe Tarfon, Sha'omer Chamishi Omer Olav Halala Godel, who has the text, or he has a text which says, on the fifth kos, what's the Halala Godel? U'mitzvah la'aseis kedvorov. And it's a mitzvah to do in accordance with this view. For Arba Kosos, some call Ba'agodo, the four cups of which we know are based on the Agada. We saw it, you will show me, it's a Midrash as well. What is interesting, of course, if you actually look in the passage, is a little confusing why you should think there were four at all. There are actually six verbs which describe various aspects of redemption. Here's the passage. Lochein emoliv neisol ani Hashem v'yitzeisi at one eschem. Mitach hasiv lois mitzvah. V'yitzalti is two eschem me'avotzon. V'goalti three eschem b'Israel at two ha'mishpotim gedoilim. It's interesting, those three are all in one posuk. And there's much to say about that. They are conceptually linked. They are all aspects of leaving slavery. V'lokakti, the beginning of the next pasuk, is already about building a new relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's after the slavery. And they are, as you can see, divided by the pasukim. V'lokakti, that's the fourth verb, eschem lila om. V'yisi lochem le'lukim v'yidatem ki'ani Hashem elokechem v'mitzi eschem mitachsev lois mitzroi. That's normally where we stop, but then it carries on. I shall bring you to the land. That's the fifth one. Which is also seems to be somewhere in this cache, but it's not quite the same. That's the gift of the land. But it's in the same verse as building this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it is considered by some to be part of this passage as well. I give it to you as an inheritance. So, the difficulty is with this word behevesi, which does appear to be, it's understood, that the process of Mitzrayim is first of all exit from slavery, into the desert, matan Torah, and eventually arrive in Eretz Yisrael, all part of the same thing. No one functions completely without the other. And those who talk about this understand that there is an attempt, as it were, to sort of pin the fifth cup on behevesi. What does the Rambam do with this? So in Perch Ches Halacha Yud, Vachachav Notev Yodim Vork with Samozen, Al Kosh Shlishim Shseu, Mai Machroinim, third cup, benching third cup, drink it. Vachachav Moshe Kosh Vi, Vigoyim Olis Halel, pour the fourth cup, Halel, Vayimolot Bechaz Hashir, and he defines this as Yehalelucha, Shem Kol Maisecho, Vork Brei Priagofen, they break Yagofen, That's the fourth cup. We know there's a discussion in Shoinim about whether one should make brochas on each of the kosas. That's another subject. You should have nothing at all apart from water after that, the whole night. So far, familiar, pretty much as we do it. One might pour a fifth cup, and say Halalah Godel, which is Hodel Hashem Kitov, Al Ad Adnoris Bovel. The Koise Ein Choyva Kamoi Arba Koises. That's what the Rambam does with it. It's not a choiv, it's not an obligation like the other four. The other four seem to be enshrined as an absolute obligation. But the Rambam makes a nod, an awareness that there are opinions, or one can certainly learn the Gemara in a way that allows for a fifth cup. So what does he do with it? He kind of brings it in the middle. It's optional. It's an optional extra. And the Tur in Tov Pei Aleph brings various shittas, and he is concerned for Tosfos, which is very against drinking wine or redoing anything afterwards, for those who say the Piyutim and Shabbos HaGodol from Yosef Tov Ilei Min Choylehu Istanis Uboi Lemishli Hamro Mishum Anas Loim B'chamishji Al HaGodol Ishtanis, which means that if one's unwell or one is delicate, then it's permissible, as it were, to have the fifth cup afterwards, and it's really a concession, but it's hardly viewed as ideal, and that is sort of discussed in the Torah. Where this subject becomes interesting is in the Maharal. So the Maharal's Haggadah, despite what the Rambam writes, it is, and the Torah, it's perfectly normative not to do this fifth cup at all. Although, there are those who say that this is the origin of Kosh Eliyahu. I mean, we have a Kosh that we pour and we don't drink it. So we have this whole, there we go, from the door, Eliyahu Anovi, we view the second part of the Seder as having a redemptive theme for the future, rather than focusing on the past, which is the first part of the Seder and so on. These are all familiar ideas. Eliyahu HaNovi, the harbinger of Geula. What actually it might be is, there's an unresolved machlokes as to what to do about this fifth cup. So you know what we're going to do? We'll pour it, and then with a bit of luck, Eliyahu HaNovi will come and tell us what to do with it. Right? And so it could well be that this is actually the origin of the Kosh of Eliyahu, which is not mentioned at all in very early sources. Perhaps that's what it really comes from, a sort of, we do have a fifth cup, but we don't drink it. Now, in the Maharal's Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach, it's called Divrei Negidim. If you look in the way it's printed, there are excerpts from the Gevuras Hashem, which is the Maharal of the entire Sefer, on Geula, Mitzrayim, Exodus, and so on. And there's a Haggadah called Divrei Negidim. And there's a very beautiful piece. One says, this is Halalah Godel, Acha Geula, this is after redemption. And he launches into an explanation of how Geula is all very nice. But if you have no Parnosa, then the Geula isn't much use. That not only is the Kodesh Baruch who saved us from Egypt, but his kindness goes on. Zehu shehu noisin mozen lechol bosor. He provides food for everyone. Hu yose elim v'malim mikol. This is the greatest mile of all before Acharon. This is the very last thing. The very last phase, if you like, of redemption is this parnosa and so on. Well, lefichach, I'm culling it. Oimer ki zehu bishvil shamazon so yose elim. It's where it's most remarkable. Nace. And therefore, it's the therefore that's interesting. Tiknu kois hei. That's why the rabbis instituted a fifth cup, loim olav halah godol, to say halah godol, which is primarily about Kodesh Baruch Hu providing for us in an ongoing manner, even beyond the specific geula from Mitzrayim. And he describes why you might say Hashem Roi Lo'echer instead, but that's the theme. And in the Maharal Haggadah, and I'm sure this is not written by the Maharal, it's added later, but it's understood that this is what you're supposed to do according to the Maharal, after Halal HaGadol, there is a rubric. Hineni Mochon HaMazum L'Kayim Mitzvahs Kos Chamishi. I'm about to perform the mitzvah of drinking the fifth cup. Shuneged Besurus HaYeshua. And this corresponds to the announcement of redemption. Etc. And then it says, Rosh HaBayis Bilvad, the head of the household alone, Yikach HaKosh El Eliyahu HaNovi, should take the Kosh El Eliyahu HaNovi, V'yishtev HaSeba B'li Brocha, and drink it while reclining, without a Brei Pri HaGofen. V'ach HaKach Yevorech Brocha Achroin, and then make the Brocha Achroin, which will cover the Kosas since the meal. Fascinating. Seems to have sort of moved forward from... It's interesting, he sees the Kosh El Eliyahu as the fifth Kos here. Fascinating and unfamiliar. But the reason it may be unfamiliar is because there is significant evidence that this is a fake. And this is indeed very Negidin, while a very beautiful sefer, and obviously written in the style of the Maharal, the Hu Amoik Ma'oi, he's got certain key phrases. There is significant research, a number of people who suggest that this is a book, it's not known in the early writings of the Maharal. It doesn't correspond with what he writes in the Gevuras, which was, we know for sure, absolutely, with absolute certainty, is genuine and written by the Maharal. And there have been a number of studies as to whether this Maharal, the popularity of this idea of the fifth cup, comes from this quite well-known piece in the Maharal Haggadah, and so on. So, if you're interested in these sorts of things, which you can see I am, you can read an essay in Moria, Shnas Yud Dalad, Gimel to Dalad, in Sivan Shittot. I'll give you all the references if you really want. The essay is by someone called Harav Avram Benedict, who I looked into. He's a really serious person. He's a really serious person. And he writes an essay called Haggadas Maharal Oy Agadas Maharal. I.e., is this really the Haggadah of the Maharal, or is it some kind of mock-up? It's some kind of... There have been many forgeries. It's a real work. It's a beautiful work. The person who wrote it is clearly Talmud Chacham with very great knowledge. But it's not necessarily written by the Maharal. It may be passed off as a book written by the Maharal. He writes, and he compares, as one would do, to try to determine whether, in fact, it is written by the Maharal. And he goes on to explain there's not the slightest hint in the Gevuras Hashem of this idea, the fifth cup, the Paranossa, all this stuff, he said, and he traces the publication history of this work, and it is quite clear that the objective of this piece, Hamatarakon Beruro, the objective here is patent. Lahath dir betzibur b'shem maral, to, as it were, to penetrate the community with this concept in the name of the Maral, Minag Shtias Kos Chamishi. The custom, he wants to promote the idea of drinking the fifth cup. It has got source, we've seen, it has a background. V'lo mipi HaMaharal Yotzva Devorim K'muvor. It is perfectly clear this did not come from the Maharal. And he assumes that this Divrei Negidim, while a very interesting work, is in fact a forgery. So, I'm sure there are those who would argue with it, and he writes, in fact, he says that Rav Kasha, who wrote this monograph very much promoting this idea of the fifth cup and saying it's quite genuine, relies extensively on this Maharal. It has to be seen as a key source because he talks about the beauty, the idea, and at least that the Balabos drinks the fifth cup. And he says that there's no evidence whatsoever the Maharal believed this, wrote about it, or did it. And so that is interesting, to say the least. Now, there isn't, of course, a great deal one can conclude from this. Other than there remains a significant disagreement, what I'd like to do is to skip forward to a way this is codified in later halachas, because we have two principles which appear to be in conflict. One is you're not supposed to drink after the kosher. We discussed that briefly. There are a number of reasons, and the Beis Yosef spends a lot of time discussing it, a number of reasons, one of which I've given, which perhaps would not apply in some circumstances, others to make sure that the flavour of the wine, as it were, if you like, conceptually, the concept of the Seder remains with you, etc., etc. But we also have a principle that one should not add to the kosher. There's a kind of, as it were, a delineated, appropriate way of celebrating, and that's it. That's what's available. So, in the light of all that, the Shulchan Aruch in the Tof Pei Aleph Sif Aleph, Acha Arba Koitis Eino Rashai Lishtos Yayin. One should not drink wine after Arba Koitis, Elamayim, rather water. Ramorad, v'chola mashkim dinan kiyain. So there's a discussion of what constitutes is all drinks, which means all non-wine drinks. And there's a discussion, can you have apple juice, can it? Okay. But no wine. Umishu istanis, oitov harbelishtois, someone who is of delicate constitution, or has a very strong thirst for to drink, which means he needs to drink wine, because we already know you're allowed to drink water. So I'm an alcoholic, possibly, because he's already had four cups of wine, right? Yochel lishtois and the kois hamishi. He may drink, and that really incorporates the Rambam, actually, the Mordechai as well. Yochel lishtois kois hamishi. He's at liberty if he wishes, if he's of this kind of disposition. And it's not the kind of thing one chooses to advertise, that one feels this kind of burning passion to drink more wine after all that wine already. Then one is at liberty to divide the Tehillim, effectively, and to say some over the fourth kos and some over the fifth kos. And the Bi'ah Gror there talks about drinking after koses and why it might be and so on. I just want to make sure I kind of give you a smattering of a range of ideas. It isn't kind of time to discuss that in detail. The Mishnah Berurah. However, Tam Yesh Bozer Poskim. There are many reasons given for this whole thing. The whole thing about one would be a good reason is you're just going to get drunk. You've got to get to the end of the Seder. And if you drink too much wine, you will fail to continue to discuss the exodus into the night, which is the objective. The more wine you drink, the more quickly you're going to fall asleep. Many, as I can see from the audience, find it quite easy to fall asleep without any wine. And so on. So when you four cups of wine, four cups of wine late at night after extensive Pesach preparations. Who needs a fifth cup if you're already struggling to stay awake? And he brings other reasons and so on. But in the meantime, no one is interested in turning this into any kind of obligation. What the Aruch HaShulchan do with it? For example, I'm just trying to give you a sort of representative sort of snippets. Chamishio molov halel agodl. And he brings the various girasoyas and explains about Tor Herich Bazer. The Torah goes to expands upon this. And then he says, Miu anon lo yadina mizeh v'lo yadina rak midal kosis. Well, despite all this, the Rambam and the Torah, and you may drink it if you want, and if you're an Isis, said, we don't heard of such a thing. No one knows about this, no one does it, no one's heard of it at all. And I think that reflects the normative practice in our sorts of communities. No one knows anything about this at all. So, I've got something here. I actually remember what it is. It's called Divrei HaGaonim. And I prepared this share last year. I can't actually remember where I got this from. V'yesh min HaGaonim sh'omu d'adavka k'goin sh'muh l'kois chamishi. So again, this is trying to incorporate, well, only if people really needs it, and so on. And he says, however, in this Divrei Goyim, I don't imagine it's from the Goyim, but it's quoting things from the Goyim period. He says, in contrast to what the Aruch HaShulchan says, Aval be'emesh shemati shekei nogim kama v'kama gadolim. I've heard that many, many Goyim do this, and they incorporate the fifth kos. I've heard, in the name of some current Goyim, that they drink a cup of wine during the meal, which is a perfectly legitimate thing to do anyway, certainly. And they have in mind that sort of it's simple Yom Tov or whatever, but also to incorporate the fifth cup. But he says here, in contrast to the Aruch HaShulchan, Shemati shekein noegim kama v'kama gadolim, upuk hazei ama. Go and say it, go and look what people are doing. Ama davar, what people are talking about, what's going on. Hakol kafi mekomo, he said, everyone in accordance with one's kafi mekomo, in accordance with where one lives, he says, so this source understands there are many places where apparently people did drink a fifth cup, although we don't see any printed Haggadahs, with the exception of this dubious Maharal, which indicates, well, that's actually not quite true. What is true is that it's known, for those who look into these things, the history of Hasidus, that the Kotzker was very keen on this idea. Now, this is not a halachic recommendation, it's a piece of historical interest. Now, the Kotzker was a great believer in the fifth kos. It's not recorded what he did with it, at what stage he drank it, whether he did what's recommended here in the Maharal, that only the Balabais drank it, or whether everyone he gave a fifth cup, exactly how he divided it up, presumably, however, it's well known. And it's not surprising, therefore, that one sees there's a thing called Sefer HaZmanim, which is excerpts from the Pirushim of the Ishbitz on the Haggadah. whatever. And again, this is not a further attempt to promote the ideas of the Ish Mitzvah, I'll do that on another occasion. But what he does is that he acknowledges that there are those who have the custom to drink five cups, and he said that those who do drink five cups do it at this stage. And that's reflective of the fact that although there was a break, he's coming from Kotsk. I don't know whether there are people who continue to promote this idea. They said Reb Solika Cohen, who was the Talmud Muvok of Yishbitzer, and so on. There are people on this line, there was a sort of minhag to drink the fifth cup. I don't know whether anyone here has actually come across anyone actually doing this, or whether this is just a sort of academic interest. But of course, what is fascinating is that despite all the concepts, the idea comes from a confusion about the correct girsa. Now to finish, various people mention this, that it's the limit of the riff, and so on, and it's to correspond to Hevesi. Okay. What is interesting, having said all this, is this Chasam Sofer. It's Chasam Sofer Parshas for Eirot, not in, talking on the relevant Pesukim. Shishu L'shonish Shal Ge'ula Omrim Poi. There are six phrases of redemption here. Vaitzeisi v'tzalti v'gualti v'lokati v'evesi v'nosati. Chasam Sofer. V'chol erchot u'in v'fnei atzmoi. Each of them is conceptually different from the others. So, first is Yitzia Mikusha Shibut. So the first Vaitzeisi is an exit from the harshness of the enslavement. Based, the second, Hatzolah Miyos Mishubud Lahem Kla. So, the second is they should not, it's all they're saved from being enslaved at all. The third is Geula. And so on, which one sees retribution against one's enemies, effectively the Egyptians disappear. The fourth is Velokakti, who Yoimah Nivchol Matan Torah Har Sinai. You understand that to be Matan Torah. When the Jewish people become the nation of God at Har Sinai. Hey, Havol Eretz Yisrael. The fifth is the entry to Eretz Yisrael. And what's the sixth? Says Lo Lona Mi Ramosha, to give it was not just to take us to the land, but to give us the land as a permanent inheritance, that we should own the land indefinitely. We should not be subject to others as we were in the era of the Baisheni. And so when we immediately say Venosati seems to be different from the others, the way he explains that is Vevesi and Venosati are inextricably linked. One is coming to the land, the other is owning the land permanently. As his followers, Velosati Oisoloch and Moirosho, means you'll own it permanently, Ani Hashem. And he said, and the Geula is not complete, according to this reading, until all six phases have been played out. Two, leaving slavery. The third, actually leaving Egypt. The fourth is Matan Torah, the fifth is entry to the land, and the sixth is the permanent inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. Val Dalad Horishoyim, continues the Chasam Sofer. Tiknu Chazal Dalad Koisus. Chazal instituted the Dalad Koisus for the first four. Kihoya Cherus Olam, because that was permanent. No matter what happened to the Jewish people in history thereafter, we remained permanently redeemed from Egypt. That's a permanent condition. And explains, therefore, that no matter where we are in the state of Gula or Golas, it's meaningful to celebrate these four aspects of redemption, because even if we are in awful personal circumstances, we have still, as it were, captured and retained those four aspects of Gula. Omnom shnei achronim, but the latter two, lo hoya adayin kashishel kayomom. They have no long, there's no long time. King has went to the land, but it's not permanent. We don't yet live in a situation as described ideally by these Pesukim. Adli osid lovoi imiets Hashem, until the ultimate future. Shoz yeshishay udim mukyom, and then these six promises will be fulfilled. V'ulai, and therefore perhaps. La osid lovoi, it could be in the future. So if we'll base koisus, there will be two additional koisus. Negid base geulas hanana, so this to correspond to the two aforementioned additional aspects of geula. So the Chasam Sofer makes quite a cogent distinction, which enables us, A, to stick with the existing four, that the Vervesi is something which we can't say it's not fulfilled fully yet. So yes, as the conceptual four cups makes sense in the current era, but in Yemos HaMashiach, when we can live in Eretz Yisrael without Shibbur Malchus, without any kind of outside subjugation, and we can be completely autonomous, then the Chasam Sofer advocates not just a fifth cup, but a sixth as well. Have a good day.